Today on Real Radio.
The evidence is overwhelming. It's how you look at things. Where you and I would have been in the crowd 2,000 years ago determines the outcome of eternity. The Bible says, and we see here, that what God declares, and when we begin to see and put in alignment with what we know about God's goodness, even in a fallen and wicked world that you and I live in, it makes a lot of sense.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, and in fact for this entire week, we'll be stepping away from our usual programming schedule for a special seasonal presentation. There's an age-old adage in the English language that consists of three simple words. Seeing is believing. Well, the historical narrative of the Gospels seem to indicate otherwise. You see, the week before the execution of Jesus, he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. People were shouting Hosanna and laying down clothing and palm branches. It seemed, for the moment at least, that Jesus had gathered quite a following. Well, many people in that crowd would end up turning on him in just a matter of days. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called When Seeing Isn't Enough.
When what we see is so very obvious, put yourself back in that day. Jesus went on ahead going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass as he went. This was an actual fact. Jesus went to Jerusalem. Listen, several million people knew it and saw it. Did they all become Christians? No. We know from history that the bulk of the crowd that saw this event turned on him later in the week and declared to have him crucified. So what you see and what you believe are often two different things. They saw Jesus come into the city. They saw the prophecies fulfilled. But when push came to shove, what they believed was something completely different. The obvious didn't sink into their knowledge. So is it obvious? What you and I have seen of God, let me ask you this. What you and I have seen of God, is it not obvious? You say, well, what do you mean? How can we see God? Okay, we haven't seen God, but he declares, I want you to spot my fingerprints. Come on, you can see his fingerprints. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Look at a palm tree. Look at a rose. Look at the birds. Whatever. True story. Crazy. This last week, something caught me out of my eyes in the backyard. It was a bird flopping around in the backyard. Birds fly. They don't flop around. I looked, and it was all caught up in like some fish net. And it was a dove. And when I came near to save it, it began to take off, and the net went right around its neck, and it flew away with this maybe a 12 by 12 inch panel of nylon. And as it flew, it hung itself in my neighbor's tree. And this dove was literally just hanging there, eyes closed. I thought it was dead. I ran. Gosh, if you ran, neighbor, I didn't tell you that I went in your backyard, but I went in your backyard and I grabbed a patio chair and I got there and I couldn't reach it, but I just got enough and I'm on my tiptoes and I could relieve the bird's body just enough, and his eyes opened up and it's all around his neck. And his eyes are opened up. And my pop was in the backyard there, and I'm going, I need help. What? He goes, where are you? I'm in the neighbor's yard. And I couldn't, everything with my effort, oh Lord, and I'm going, help me, God, I can't stand my tiptoes on this chair, holding my arm, my good arm, straight up like this, just enough under that little dove's legs to keep it from hanging. And then he came with a chair, and thank God he's taller than I am, and cut it with the scissors, and I brought that dove down, and I took the nylon off its neck, sat there, and went to set him down on the ground. And as soon as he realized, hey, I think this maniac is going to let me go. That dove flew away. And I felt so good. I thought, man, you know, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you cared enough, that little dove, that's awesome. And I need to remember that about me. And so we talked about things like that. And I could have let it hang there. It was caught. It was an accident. Didn't mean to. It was feeding. But it got caught. You know what? When I had that bird so close, and you look at the colors of it, it is absolutely amazing to realize that evolution cannot do that. Evolution cannot paint a bird like that. God did that. It's so perfect and so beautiful. And you, a dove is so well assembled that you can hardly tell it has feathers. It looks like one solid piece. It's so tightly and beautifully painted by God. When you look at the stars and you look at the planets, what do you think? Isn't evolution wonderful? Look at that woodpecker hitting that tree so hard. And wow, isn't that something? How many times do you think evolution said, all right, woodpecker, take a run at that tree. Ah, right, hit it now. Ooh, killed your brain, smashed your face. Let's try it again. Let's get another woodpecker and until you get it right. No, God did that. The evidence is overwhelming. It's how you look at things. Where you and I would have been in the crowd 2,000 years ago determines the outcome of eternity. The Bible says, and we see here, that what God declares, and when we begin to see and put in alignment with what we know about God's goodness, even in a fallen and wicked world that you and I live in, it makes a lot of sense. So he went, and the Bible says, a great multitude began to spread their outer garments on the road. Then as he went, and he drew near to the city, to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples rejoiced and praised God. What an interesting thing. What an amazing moment. To them, listen, at that time, the Bible, listen, and action made sense. They knew what the Bible contained. They saw the fulfillment taking place. And the fact of the matter is, listen, instead of them, though, taking that truth and having it become a reality of their life, they walked out on him in that week. They had a change of mind. And they left him. Another thing, verse 37. Does what we see align with what we know? It's an undeniable fact that the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Listen, with a loud voice. Why? What's the reason? For all the mighty works that they had seen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' miracles cannot be denied. Did you know that? Roman government called Jesus the most skillful magician that has ever lived. That's interesting. But the Bible says that when the Messiah would come, he'd raise the dead. Isaiah spoke about that. What did Jesus do? I love the things that Jesus is guilty of. Opening the eyes of the blind, raising people from the dead. I guess that would put a billion-dollar business out of business today. Raising people from the dead, cleansing leprosy, restoring homes, fixing marriages, giving a meaning and purpose to life. Jesus Christ, whom the Bible says came manifesting love. That, an undeniable fact. When you take the time to study the biblical Jesus, you come away with one word, love. Do you know that love? On this Palm Sunday in history, he wanted the world to know of his love, and a love so dedicated he'd go to the cross. A few things you might want to consider. And by the way, find this in the proclamations of some other or any other religious guru or founder in history. Who said this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God the Son said that, Jesus Christ. Who said this? And Jesus said unto them, here's your first answer, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you still do not believe in me. All that the Father gives me, they will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast away from me. For I have come down from heaven, not to do the will of my own, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of my Father who sent me, that all he has given me should come to me, and that I will lose none of them, but should resurrect them on the last day. And this is the will of my Father who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will resurrect him on that day. Is that not good news? Man, that's awesome. Well, you know, I don't know about Jesus. What's your problem? He's saying, hey, my Father sent me because he loves you, and I love you too. And I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to set the record clean for you. And then to empower that promise and to empower that act, 3 days later, I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. I love it. Who said this? John 11 tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Isn't that great? God the Son, Jesus Christ said this. Who said this? I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now, I don't know what... This is God speaking in the book of Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Uh-oh. Yeah, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and you'll go and pray, and I will listen to you. And when you seek me, you will find me, when you have searched for me with all of your heart. Isn't that awesome? Number two, quickly, when seeing isn't enough, what we hear can make a difference. Amazing. What we hear can make a difference. Number one, if we would take the time to believe the truth, there'd be a great difference in our life. Those of us who are Christians, when we trust in what God has said, don't things change for us when we trust in him? Yeah, have you noticed your heart rate goes down when you trust God? Have you seen, it was either Time or Newsweek magazine recently, that now Harvard and other medical schools have concluded that people who pray recover faster from their illnesses. Of course, they attribute it to the state of mind. There's something to be said for that, but they're finding out the medical factors that prayer has to do with illness. Interesting, huh? Prayer is nothing but a telephone line. It's who's on the other end. You don't talk to your phone. You talk to somebody on your phone. You don't pull out your phone and say, hi, you little Samsung, you. How are you? You're so cute, you little flip top, you little pull out antenna. You don't talk to your phone. Prayer is an avenue by where and by how we get to God. What an amazing thing to realize that if we take time to believe in what God has said, it'll change our lives. The people 2,000 years ago, some believed, most did not, because they looked to Jesus to relieve them of the tyranny of Rome, but that's not why he came. We are so funny that way. We look to, and that's what they did, we look to political people. Deliver us! Deliver us! This guy, he's scary, and this woman, she's scary, and they're all a bunch of scary. And then, you know, we're of this party, and then somebody says something, no, we're of this party, and we're independent. We don't know what we want to do. When people go to vote, it cracks me up. Christians even. Well, I can't vote for that person. Well, who are you going to vote for? Well, you know, I don't know. Well, how come you can't vote for this person? Well, because, and then they go down this litany of reasons why they can't vote for this person. Well, he doesn't walk on water. He hasn't raised anybody from the dead. I mean, we're not voting for Jesus, for crying out loud. You got to pick the lesser of the two evils, you know? This is a messed up world. God hasn't come back yet. He's coming, but he's not here yet. And he's in neither party, by the way. You think God's a Democrat? You got a shock coming. And if you think God's a Republican, you got a shock coming, okay? God is a monarchist. He's a king, and I love that. What we hear can make a difference if we believe it. They believed something that week that they shouted with a loud voice. Oh, it was a great church service, so to speak. Praise God, glory to God in the highest, they shouted. But they turned their back on him later that week. And then also this, some of the Pharisees called out to the crowd and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They saw the whole thing taking place and they wouldn't believe. Be careful. When seeing isn't enough, there comes a time with your brain and your heart, you are what's called convicted of the evidence, and you come to faith. It's when you have faith in God, and I love the fact that our faith is founded upon fact. That's when you can see. Verse 40 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you the truth, that if these people should keep silent, these very stones would immediately cry out." Of course, all of us wish he would have went, shh, to everybody, so the rocks would have been shouting. That would have been kind of fun to see. Would have been very Sesame Street looking, but it would have been cool. What I see in verse 40 here, you know, is Jesus is saying, and perhaps a nutshell to our world right now, these people are proclaiming because it's true. If they were to be quiet, the rocks would proclaim my glory because it's true. I see this, simply put, we need to practice what we preach. You know what the greatest harm to Christianity is? Is a bunch of people who call themselves Christians and don't believe what the Bible has to say. That is the worst of the worst. It discredits so much. And if you had the reporters out there on that hillside 2,000 years ago, they would have been asking people, "Oh, what do you believe? Are you kidding? Listen to the crowd. Hosanna, praise. This is Jesus, the Messiah. It's awesome. Come on. It's great. Let's go." Multitudes, a great multitude. And they're all going to turn on him later that week. Why? What came out of their mouth, what they preached, was not what they believed. Nobody has any respect for that, you know? And then we'll end with this. When seeing isn't enough, is when we're brought to the place of decision. When I look around, listen, things don't make sense. I can look at something. Things don't make sense. What am I going to do about it? My friend, listen, in life, you're going to have that day in and day out. Things, and to some degree greater, some less. Things just don't make sense. I don't know. Pastor, I don't know why. Listen, my daughter loved the Lord and she died of leukemia. Why? This is a fallen world and there's evil and sickness in it. God doesn't always heal the way that we want him to. I understand that you want your daughter back. I would want mine back. But do we believe what we preach? And do we understand something that when we've been brought to that place that there's something more real than what we see? It is beyond the other side. It's real. It's more real than what we can see. That your daughter, if she could speak to us, would say, "Hey, Dad, Mom, hang on. Keep the faith. You'll be here soon. I wouldn't dare want to come back where you're at. It's awesome where I am." Keep that in mind. This day in history, Christ brought hope. And hope was rejected. Will you be guilty of the same thing, of rejecting hope? Why would you do that? Nobody in their right mind would do that. The only reason why we would is when our emotions rule our logic. And when we are under our emotional control only, listen, no answer is good enough. Have you noticed that in our lives? God can say, "I love you." No, I don't think you do. But what do you want him to do? Stand on his head? What do you want him to do? Die on the cross again? He says, "I love you." He loves you. We need to face the evidence. The Bible says in verse 41 that as they drew near, Jesus began to weep over the city because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. What a tragic story is this. And we end with this thought. He said, if you had only known this, your day, the very day that was prophesied in Scripture, the very day written down. Listen to this, everyone. Jesus is hearing the accolades of the people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, save now. This is awesome. Party, the Messiah's come. Great." Jesus is weeping in a crowd of rejoicers. You would say, what's wrong with him? By the way, the word in the Greek language is Jesus is sobbing heavily, very loud. He is weeping. Why? He's the only one who knows what's really going on. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only recognized this your day, but you did not. And now, a life of mayhem is yours for the future. Rejection, torture, destruction, because you refused to receive me on Palm Sunday nearly 2,000 years ago. And you might sit here this morning and say, wow, that's really tragic. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is still alive. Jesus is asking you this morning on this Palm Sunday, will you receive me? Where are you in the crowd? Are you in the crowd saying, preach it, go, yes, all right, whoo, yep, that's right, that's the Bible, right on. But do you believe him? You may be agreeing today, but what will happen to you this week? Will you default back to emotionalism and be led by what you feel? Or will you, against what you feel, say, I know the Bible says this, Jesus said it himself, and I will trust in the Lord. Jesus, on his hour, he turns, and the Bible says on Friday there that all forsook him and fled, his disciples. Before you make a big deal about Peter or Paul or Mary, Peter, Paul, and Mary, or James or John or anybody else, listen, in the garden, all forsook him and he was left alone. And he suffered for you and I. He loves us so much. When seeing isn't enough, every one of us must be brought to that place, and we shall be brought to that place in life's experience, whereby you will either choose Christ or you'll reject him. And that's the issue this morning. This is Palm Sunday. Will you not only lay down the palm branches on the path and your outer garment before him, but will you lay down your heart? Use your head. Study. Know history. Christ really lived. He really died on the cross. He really rose again from the dead, and it set the Roman government, the greatest empire that's ever lived, on its head. Where are you?
Yes, good question. Did you attend church this last Sunday for the first time in weeks or months? Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, issuing a challenge to do a bit of soul-searching and decide if, in fact, you have come to Christ on his terms. Today we heard part two of a study called When Seeing Isn't Enough, a look at how those who were once professing followers of Christ made a 180-degree turn in just a matter of days. Where do you stand? If you'd like to hear this life-changing presentation in its entirety, or you'd like to learn more about what it means to be, as Jesus put it, born from above, get in touch with us here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Beginning with our phone number, it's area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. You can also visit us at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or maybe you'd like to put your thoughts down on paper. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of that contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills,
California.